Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Well, thanks everyone for joining us today. I'm very excited about our next guest. She's been on the show many times, and we're going to get an update about some of the new laws that all California employers should know about. So I'm going to welcome to the show Linda Duffy, who's with us from Ethos Human Capital Solutions here in Irvine, California. Linda, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks so much for inviting me back.
My pleasure. Hey, it's always fun to have you on. You bring us great information, and you always bring it in such a pleasant way. We talk about the most unpleasant topics for employers, and you bring it in such a pleasant way that it's always a great educational process for all of us. So there's some new California laws for employers, and we want to get into that. But first, just give us our listeners a real quick update about you and Ethos Human Capital Solutions and what you do.
Sure. We're really a trusted advisor to small business owners in all areas having to do with people. So I always say hiring to firing and everything in between. So for us, it could be, you know, we help them with recruiting. We help them find the right talent. We handle everything for them if they just don't want to deal with it at all. Sometimes that's, you know, just by phone, and sometimes they actually want us to come out on site. So it can be anything. And then, you know, as an employee's lifeline goes on, all those issues that come up like benefits and payroll and employee relations and performance management and then discipline and discharge. So anything that an employer needs, we're here to support them.
And what I've heard over and over again, Linda, is that sometimes people will call you for a small question, and that turns into a relationship once they see how well they're cared for and taken care of by you. And what are some of the initial common questions you get from employers that create a relationship that turns into a long-lasting relationship with them?
Well, first of all, thank you for the compliment. In fact, right before joining you today, I was at a roofing company that you referred me to. And so one of the things we're doing is we're going through their handbook and taking a look at, you know, California law, but it's more than that. It's about making sure that they have the support they need to do business. So some of the issues that came up today, just as an example, is they have roofers that have to go out to different job sites. So they were asking about travel time. And we talked a lot about just wage and hour laws, what has to be paid. Can they have two different rates for people, a drive time rate and then a rate when they're actually doing the construction part of the job? You know, we talked about drug screens. We talked about pre-placement physicals, leaves of absence. I mean, like everything you can imagine. And a lot of times it just starts with they pick up the phone and they call me for something simple. And then, you know, as I start asking them questions, they realize they just don't understand the law, and they also just need some, I guess, guidance on what are best practices in the area, you know, in some of those areas. So what do I see at other clients? You know, so an example might be today we were talking about the new sick pay policy that's going into effect. So they're asking me, you know, what do other companies do, and how should we structure our policies? Because currently they're not offering sick pay to people. So we spent a lot of time talking about that.
So, yeah, a lot of times it's that perspective, because as a business owner, you know, everybody always says it's lonely being a business owner. You're working, you're trying to do the best thing you can, creating jobs for people, getting work, completing work, dealing with all the issues. And sometimes it's difficult to put your head up and go, how do all these new laws affect me, and what are other people doing about it? And that's where you come in to be able to say, look, you know, you don't want to take shortcuts in this particular area. It can really hurt you. And here's the common solution, what we're seeing out there. So that would be a valuable perspective for employers.
Yeah, and I think that's really true. I think it's lonely at the top. And I always said, you know, when I was you know, in the corporate world, the two loneliest positions in a company are the CEO and the head of HR, because who do you go to with your people problems, right? So a lot of times, and a lot of times the reason we get engaged is because even larger companies that may have an HR presence on site, it's someone that's really good about the paperwork, maybe. They keep the plate spinning, if you will, and can get people signed up for benefits. But it's not the person that the CEO is comfortable trusting with respect to people's strategy, knowing the laws, really being on the company's side, if you will, and having the breadth of experience to be able to give them some really sound business advice in the area of human capital. So that's where we come in.
That's great. So tell us about what's going on with these new laws. California has, of course, annually they pass new laws, but how does this one affect California employers, Linda?
Yeah, there's a lot of new laws, and I just did a webinar on this yesterday, so I'll also tell you, you know, one of the ways that your listeners can go hear the entire 1 hour webinar that I do with an employment attorney is to go to my YouTube channel, and they can just go to YouTube and then search for ECOS-CS for Human Capital Solutions, and they'll find it right there. So that was posted yesterday, and it's an hour long. So obviously, I'm going to shortcut it here for your listeners here today, but there were definitely some new laws that went into effect that people need to be aware of, and some of those are assembly bills that get passed, and then some of those are, you know, just from case law that came down last year. So there are a few new protected classes in California, and people should just be aware of a few minor laws that sort of went into effect. So a few of those are AB 1660 was passed, and this has to do with a driver's license for people who are not here in the country legally. So it's sort of counterintuitive to me, if you ask me, but you know, they can go in and get California driver's licenses, and they're designated differently, apparently, on the driver's license, and it's now illegal to discriminate against them. Keeping in mind, however, that employers still have a responsibility to verify their employees' right to work in the United States, their eligibility to work in the United States via the I-9 form. So even if somebody comes to you with a driver's license now that will show identity, you still have to remember you have the requirement for them to produce a Social Security card or birth certificate or something else off of what we call List C on the I-9 form to make sure that they're eligible to work for your company. Another one is that for a long time, you know, the Fair Employment and Housing Act has laid out protected categories of people, and you can't discriminate against people based on things like race and religion and color, national origin, all of that. The AB 1443 bill that was passed last year expands that to cover unpaid interns and volunteers as well. So all of those usual protected categories, now you also cannot discriminate against unpaid interns and volunteers based on those. And then finally, there's one having to do with discriminating against people that receive public assistance through Medi-Cal. So those are a few of the protected categories. Another one that went into effect has to do with sort of anti-bullying measures. You know, for employers out there that have 50 or more employees in California, there's a requirement to provide their supervisors with 2 hours of anti-harassment training every 2 years. And now that's been expanded to include some anti-bullying as well, or what the law refers to as abusive conduct. So that's just sort of a couple things. And then another law that went into effect is having to do with cell phone reimbursement. And the labor code specifically says that you have to reimburse people, employees, for expenses they incur as part of their job. But this law is a case law called Cochran that came down that expanded that to include cell phone reimbursement. It doesn't tell you how to calculate it, but they say you have to pay a reasonable percentage of the employee's cell phone bill if they're using their own device on company business. So those are three of the smaller ones. The big one, though, Bill, that went into effect has to do with the sick time. So do you know what's going on with that? Have you heard about that?
I have heard about it, and I still can't get my head around it because of some of the part-time issues and the definition of whether somebody is somebody who is part-time, misses a day, but their hours aren't consistent. How do you calculate what they missed?
Yeah, I've got to say, one of the worst written bills I think I've read in a really long time. And this, you know, part of this, to me, just goes back to you've got a lot of people, you know, sitting up in Sacramento that aren't necessarily business owners, right? So those of us that have to deal with the practicality of the bill and the implementation of the bill are struggling with some of the way the wording came out that doesn't necessarily compute to us on a daily basis. So an example of that is the law went into effect in part January 1. So I'll just tell your listeners that there's two things that they need to be doing right now. One is there is a posting requirement to notify your employees about the new sick pay law. They can download that off of the DLSC website, or they can just send me an email. I'm happy to send it off to them, and it's available in English and Spanish and everything. If they buy their annual poster through Cal Chamber or another organization like that, it's already included. So if they've updated for this year, they're good to go. Otherwise, they can just print out this 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper and put it up. The second thing that went into effect already is there's a notice requirement. Some people call it the wage theft notice. Other people call it a notice to employee under Labor Code Section 2810.5, to be very specific. This notice went into effect a couple of years ago where we have to give all non-exempt, think hourly, employees upon hire. This notice that spells out what their base rate is, their overtime rate, their double time rate, who the workers' comp carrier is, and so forth. And then if that changes at all during the year, you have to reissue it. Well, the sick pay law amended that law to say that now you also have to give people notice about what kind of sick pay benefits they have. So those two requirements are already in effect. And then when July 1st comes, the actual requirement to provide your employees with 24 hours of sick pay each year goes into effect. So the good news is you still have, 5.5 months to figure out how to handle that. But like you were saying, there are a lot of sort of inconsistencies. Usually we would say, okay, well, if you work part-time, Bill, if you're working 20 hours a week, I'm going to give you half of the annual benefit I give my full-time people. Unfortunately, the law doesn't allow for that. The law says 24 hours, and they say you can accrue it 1 hour of sick pay for every 30 hours of work. How many payroll systems, if I've got an employee that's working 5 hours a week and I have a client like this, 5 hours a week, how many payroll systems are designed to be able to track 30 hours over the course of 6 weeks, six different mm-hmm. payroll periods, or in this case, three different payroll periods? It's just not well thought out, but yet, as a small employer, you have a requirement to provide this sick pay, and there's different ways you can be in compliance with that. And we did go through all of those options yesterday in that webinar, so I hope your listeners, if they have questions, will either reach out or go on to YouTube and look for my YouTube channel and take a look at that webinar.
Yeah, it is very confusing when you get into part-time workers who would have to be granted this as well, and especially when you think about places like restaurants and other places where they have or very seasonal kind of situations where they bring in people, and how long do they have to be employed before they are granted the 24 hours for the year?
Well, it affects all employees who work at least 30 days during the year, and the accrual starts from day one. I mean, if you know you're going to hire someone and they're going to work 30 days, and of course the bill doesn't define what a day is, so I'm assuming if they work any time during the day, you're going to count that as a day. That could be wrong, but that's my assumption. I think that'll get clarified between now and July. And then you can put in a 90-day waiting period before they can use it. The other good news is it does not have to be paid out upon exiting the company like vacation does. So if you combine it with PTO, which will solve some of these, if you combine it with PTO, you do have to pay it out. But if you keep it as a standalone sick pay benefit, it's not required to be paid out.
Okay. But it could affect somebody who's maybe on a periodic working schedule, like restaurants or something like that.
Yes,
where you were scheduled to come to work and instead you call in sick for that day, and now the employer has to find somebody else to work your shift, and they're going to pay. They're going to be paying double time during that because they're going to be paying the person who is sick. Where it just
Absolutely.
It really is going to hurt a lot of smaller businesses that have been very deft with how their hiring practice and how they have people work in different shifts and things like that. It's confusing. At the very least, it's confusing.
It's confusing, and while the intent, of course, we all want employees to be taken care of as needed and things like that. I mean, I have less of a problem with the actual intent of the bill. I have a lot of problems with how it's supposed to be implemented, right? And a lot of my smaller employees, it's not a benefit they currently provide. They may provide vacation pay to people, or maybe they can't afford to pay for any of that, right? And so, you know, imposing another burden like this, especially in California, is in my opinion, just driving businesses out of the state, and that's going to hurt the economy.
Well, and it's in a difficult time because a lot of businesses that are coming back are still competing very heavily in areas and really have skinny margins while they're building back up their businesses. We're not out of the woods yet. I talked to a lot of contractors and other people that are still having to struggle and really lowball to get the bids and to get the work. And then something like this comes along that just wipes out, it's just another thing for business owners.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's talk about some of the biggest employment-related risks business owners need to understand and address. Linda, what are some of the biggest employment-related risks?
You know, I look at it sort of in a couple different categories. Sort of the risk that comes from potential litigation, like let's take wage and hour issues, staying compliant with these type of laws, sick pay, travel time, overtime laws, all of that stuff, those are huge risks. We see more and more class action lawsuits in that area. Similarly, a hot topic any day, any year is just making sure that you have your employees classified correctly, whether they're exempt or non-exempt. I run into employers all the time and say, oh, that's a 1099 employee. Well, those two words, 1099 and employee, should never be in the same sentence as far as I'm concerned, unless you're contracting, right? So they have to be really careful that they're paying people appropriately. That's probably the biggest risk I see. But I'll tell you another risk that I've come across more recently, and that is also to call it reputation management, I guess. You know, companies for the last several years have been, we're on the buyer side of the market, right, as far as talent goes. There were a lot of really talented people out there looking for work. The economy was bad, and so it was a buyer's market. Well, I got to tell you, Bill, sort of the good news, bad news. The good news is that as the economy improves, the bad news to employers is it becomes a seller's market, and they need to change their way of thinking. I talk to clients all the time who think like they can take as long as they want to make a decision about a candidate, and it doesn't. You know, the candidate should be grateful to have an opportunity with them, and it doesn't matter whether they communicate with that candidate. They'll just, they just assume the candidate will be sitting around waiting for a phone call, and that's not the case. And I've had this come up a lot where employers all of a sudden realize that it's pretty competitive out there for really good talent, and they need to be more careful about how they talk with candidates, how they sort of wine and dine those candidates, so to speak. And also how they're managing their reputation. So let me give you a real quick example of that. I've got a client that is having a real struggle right now with the website Glassdoor. Don't know if you're familiar with that or not, but it's basically like Yelp for employers. Anybody can go onto that website and post a review of that employer. So I would say to your listeners, go out and see if you're on Glassdoor. It's literally GlassDoor.com. Because people can post anonymously pretty much with impunity, right? And they can say all sorts of things. So in my client's case, we're working on fixing this right now, they're making great strides, but the problem is if you Google their name, think as a candidate, the very first website that comes up in Google is their website. The very next one is Glassdoor, and it shows like 2.5 stars out of 5. And then if you go to Glassdoor and you start reading the reviews, it makes it look like they're just a horrible employer, which they aren't, but they've had some really bad reviews written by employees that were fired by the company for very legitimate good reasons. So there's sort of that reputation management I see as a risk out there that you need to stay on top of what's being said about your company and make sure that you're managing that reputation appropriately so you're not losing out on good talent.
Linda, always great advice from you. That's a great tip. And one that I had not heard of, and we're happy to pass that along to our listeners. Tell our listeners how to get in touch with you and, I guess, your website and phone number.
Yeah, absolutely. Phone number is easy, 949-525-0138. And then the website is ethoshcs.com, so Ethos Human Capital Solutions. Last three of those abbreviated, of course, ethoshcs.com. And like I mentioned earlier, the webinar that we did yesterday that's on all of the different laws that went into effect for California employers this year is out on the YouTube channel. So that's another way they can find me either through the website, they can get to YouTube, or if they go to YouTube, they can just search for ESES HBS and find it there. And of course, they can always just email me at linda@eseshbs.com.
Well, it always goes by too fast, number one, and it's always a delight to have you on. So look forward to the next time. Thanks very much for the great update. And, you know, just fascinating information, Linda. I wish you well. Thanks very much, and I'll see you around.
All right. Thanks so much to you too, Bill. Bye-bye.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back with another guest, so please stay tuned.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the information station for age 50-plus business owners, where we're interviewing top advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new one-minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.